Our New Testament reading and the scripture text is 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verses 1 through 13. Hear God's word. For I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they were drinking from the spiritual rock which followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not well pleased, for they were laid low in the wilderness. Now these things happened as examples for us, so that we would not crave evil things as they also craved. Do not be idolaters as some of them were. And as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and stood up to play. Nor let us act immorally as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in one day. Nor let us try the Lord as some of them did, and were destroyed by the serpents. Nor grumble as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example, and were written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that which you are able, so that with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, that you will be able to endure it. May God be pleased to bless us with the reading of His Word. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, again, it's our privilege to look into your word. And as we do so, we pray that you'd be pleased to visit us with your spirit, to enlighten our minds, to give us light in our hearts, to give us a quickening by your spirit that we might be engaged with your word and learn from your word, not only intellectually, but, Father, that we might practice that which we read and that which we learn as truth from your word. So be pleased to bless us now as we look into this portion of Paul's epistle, which is, as we understand it, inspired by your spirit. Bless us now, we ask, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The text is 1 Corinthians 10, verses 1 through 13. The text ends with that classic verse, which is often memorized, verse 13. No temptation has taken you, but such as is common to man. But God will, with the temptation, make the way of escape, that you will be able to endure it, or you will be able to persevere. This is a text that is often placed on wall hangings. You may remember I mentioned to you once before that Dr. J. Adams, who is a prolific writer and counselor, as well as being a preacher, says that evangelicals have a disease called placosis. They take texts from Scripture, like verse 13, put it on wall plaques, and that's nice, they hang it on the wall. And Dr. Adams says, I'd like to make contextual wallpaper. And verse 13 is a text in which the context is important. And the context has to do with the church of the Old Testament, the people of God in the Old Testament. And the Apostle Paul is drawing a comparison between the church today and the church in the Old Testament. And he's saying, you don't want to be like the church in the Old Testament. And then he comes to verse 13. And so we need to pay attention, if we're going to understand verse 13, we need to pay attention to the church in the Old Testament. And the lesson I think that Paul is giving us is simply this. Learn from the church in the Old Testament. And then when you tack on verse 13, you understand that you are to persevere in the tests that God brings your way. So here's the lesson once again. Learn from the church in the Old Testament and persevere in your testing. You see, Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 goes immediately to the church in the Old Testament, does he not? Look at verses 1 through 4 in 1 Corinthians 10. For I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that our fathers... You notice how he puts it. Our fathers. He's speaking to the Gentiles in Corinth. Our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea and all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they were drinking from a spiritual rock which followed them, and the rock was Christ. Paul goes back to that Old Testament church redeemed from bondage, the bondage of Egypt. And he reminds the Corinthians that that Old Testament church was led by that man Moses, who was, in effect, their redeemer. He led them out of Egypt. He really didn't want to go there. He didn't want to perform this work. He thought he was a man that couldn't speak well, and he didn't want to perform the work, but God pressed him into this service, and he led the people out of Egypt. And he led the people through the Red Sea as on dry land. And Paul says, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They were united to Moses as Moses led them out of Egypt and through the Red Sea and then into the wilderness. And then Paul says, all ate the same spiritual food, the manna from heaven, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they were drinking from a spiritual rock which followed them. And Paul has in mind here two incidents. The incident in Exodus 17 where Moses struck the rock and water came out. Then he has the latter incident in mind where Moses again, in frustration at the end of the wilderness wanderings, struck the rock twice. And he was a little aggravated because of the people of Israel. And Paul has in mind all of the wilderness wanderings here. And he's reminding the people of the wilderness wanderings. And he says, the rock which followed them really symbolized by the water that came from the rock in the first place and the rock in the second place, the rock that really followed them was Jesus Christ. So Christ was with the people. That's what Paul is telling us under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. This is the church in the Old Testament, the church in the wilderness. Now, why did God take these people into the wilderness? Why did God take the church of old into the wilderness? Well, they were disobedient. That was one facet of what took place for sure. But God had something else in mind as he took them into the wilderness. Turn back into the Old Testament, if you would, to Deuteronomy chapter 8 with me. And notice what God has in mind with regard to the wilderness wanderings. You see, when we read the Bible, the main character is God. We want to know what God is up to. And here we get a window, a picture, a view as to what God is up to. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. All the commandments that I am commanding you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to give to our fathers, to your forefathers. In Deuteronomy, the people of Israel have now passed through the wilderness, and they are in Moab. They are at the verge of Jordan. They are ready to pass into the promised land. And Moses reminds them now in verse 2, you shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. God was interested in the people's hearts. And he was testing them to know what was in their hearts. Now, obviously, God didn't need to know what was in their hearts. But the test was to show the people what was in their hearts, that they might see what was in their hearts, that they might understand the nature of their own hearts. And so the church in the wilderness is a church that underwent various tests. Let's read on. You shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. He humbled you and let you be hungry, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. You see, ultimately the tests were to bring the people to an understanding of their own hearts, and in their hearts they were to grasp the fact that life is not about material things. Oh yes, we need bread. We need to eat. We do need shelter. We need clothes. But ultimately, life is not centered around the material things. Life is centered around God. Life is centered around His Word and life in accordance with His Word. And that was what the testings were all about with regard to the church in the Old Testament. Let's go back now to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Israel's testing did reveal the hearts, the content of the hearts of the people. That's what took place. And we can say the same thing for you and me. You see, Paul is making a comparison now between the church in the wilderness and the church today. And part of the dynamic is that as God tested the church in the wilderness, so he tests the church today. So he tests you and me. And Israel faltered. Look at verse 5. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not well pleased, for they were laid low in the wilderness. They faltered under this testing through which God was pleased to take them in the wilderness. And part of what Paul is anxious about is this, that there is this similarity between the church in the Old Testament and the church in the New Testament with regard to this testing. And Paul does not want the church in the New Testament to falter like the church in the Old Testament. Look at verse 12. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall. You see, there it is. The church in the Old Testament faltered. The people fell. And they fell literally in the wilderness because of God's judgment. And so the apostle says to the church at Corinth, and he's saying to you and to me this morning, let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall. You see, if you think you've got it all together, and you puff up your chest and beat yourself on the chest a little bit, and say to yourself, I've got it together, I have no cares, I have no worries in this world, take heed, the apostle says. Watch out. God is going to test you. If he has not already tested you, he will test you. You know, I think that one of the ways God is testing his people today is with this economic situation, this economy. This is a test. And part of the way the test comes to fruition is this. As there is the prospect that when you do your taxes, charitable giving may no longer be a deduction, will you continue to give a tenth of all as God commands? Will you? Because God commands it, not because you get a deduction from the IRS. This is a test, you see. And as the pressure economically comes down upon us, God is saying, look at your heart. Are you my servant in every respect? And in this respect, with regard to the tithe, I think that's one way we can look at it. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall. Now, the Apostle Paul adds to his argument by telling us that the church in the wilderness is an example for us. Look again at our text, verse 6. Now, these things happened as examples for us, so that we would not crave evil things as they also craved. You see the connection? Look at the church in the Old Testament. They craved evil things. These things happened as an example for you, so that you would not crave evil things as they did. Now you might say to yourself, well, that was the church in the Old Testament. True. But get the connection that Paul is making. The connection that he is saying, there is a similarity between the church in the Old Testament and the church in the New Testament. They are not disconnected. And that God deals with the church in the New Testament in many ways similar to the way he dealt with the church in the Old Testament with regard to these tests. Look at verse 11. Now, these things happen to them as an example. And they were written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Now, think about this for a moment, folks. That when God took the children of Israel out of Egypt and brought them into the wilderness and performed these tests, these examinations, if you will, so that the people might understand the content of their hearts, God had you in view. He had me in view. He had the church in the New Testament in view. He was setting them up already as an example for you and for me. I think that's rather startling. That was part of God's plan. And if you look at verse 11, the word example here is actually the word type. In other words, the Apostle Paul is saying that the church in the wilderness is a type of the New Testament church. It's a picture of the New Testament church. It's a foreshadowing of the New Testament church. So that we are to look back at the Old Testament church and understand that what happened to them is being fulfilled in us. There is a connection between the Old Testament and the New Testament in this regard. A vital connection. And Paul says, furthermore, now these things happened to them as an example and were written for our instruction, as we already said. That church in the wilderness was preparing the way for us here today. And then Paul adds the telling words, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. The church in the Old Testament was always looking forward to Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ came, history was altered. There was a dramatic change that took place. This is why we date things before Christ and the year of our Lord. Everything changed with the coming of Jesus Christ. We entered a new age, a new era. And Paul calls it the ends of the ages. And we are in the ends of the ages. And the Old Testament church was pointing toward the ends of the ages. And we're there now. And Paul says, we need to look back and understand the connection between us and that Old Testament church, and we need to learn from that Old Testament church. Because that Old Testament church is an example for us and a type looking forward to our times. And so then Paul gets a little bit more specific with regard to this example in the Old Testament. Verses 7 through 10. Do not be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and stood up to play. In the Old Testament reading, we heard from Exodus 32 and Moses coming down from the mountain and discovering to his dismay the people worshiping a golden calf. And then you get this little quip with regard to Aaron. Oh, we threw the jewelry into the fire and out popped this calf. Right. You see, when Moses was out of sight, God wanted to know what the people would do. Would they remain faithful to His word? It's a little test. Jesus Christ is out of sight. Are we faithful to His word? This is part of the test. You have, and that I have. Verse 8. Nor let them act immorally as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in one day. Paul has reference here to the children of Israel getting acquainted with the Moabites and worshiping Baal and getting caught up in the cult of Baal, which involved sexual immorality. And Paul is saying, let us not act immorally as some of them did, and 23,000 of them fell. And God judged in that situation, and thousands died. Now, significantly enough, what was Paul dealing with in the Corinthian church? Earlier, if you read 1 Corinthians, you read about Paul dealing with food offered to idols. And you read about immorality in the Corinthian church. Incest. This was real personal for the apostle. And he's saying to the Corinthian church, and he's saying to you and to me, look back at the example of the Old Testament church. Learn from that example. Verse 9, nor let us try the Lord as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents. Paul here has in mind the people saying to Moses, after they've been feasting on the manna and the quail from heaven, the people say to Moses, we loathe this miserable food that you have given to us. That made the Lord smile. And because the people challenged God and challenged Moses, God sent serpents among the people. And then God said, set up a bronze serpent on a pole, and anyone who looks on the serpent will live. See, that's the incident. And of course, there's a reference to Christ here. Christ himself says, as the serpent was lifted up on that pole, so I must be lifted up, so that men will look upon me, and women may look upon me, and children may look upon me, and if they believe in me, they will have life. You see, there is a connection between the Old Testament church and the New Testament church, a connection with us. And then we have verse 10, nor grumble as some of them did, and they were destroyed by the destroyer. Paul here has in mind the aftermath of Korah's rebellion. And you may remember the story of Korah's rebellion. And God was displeased. And the whole family was swallowed up as the earth opened, and they fell into the earth, and then the earth closed up again. And then the people said to Moses, it's your fault, Moses, that these people died. And the people grumbled against their leadership, and they accused Moses. And there was great division in the nation of Israel. Well, you remember what Paul says to the Corinthians? Some of you are saying, I am of Paul. Others of you are saying, I am of Apollos. Said, no, no, you're not to think this way. Remember the example of the children of Israel. You are of Christ. And so Paul is exhorting the Corinthian church, and he is exhorting you and me to look at the example of the Old Testament church. And then we come to verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you, Paul says to the Corinthians, and by way of the Corinthians, he's speaking to you and me. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. Now, when you look at your text, the little word temptation may be translated test. It's the same word, but it can be translated either way, as temptation or test. But because of the context, you see, because of where we find 1 Corinthians 10:13, in the context of the testing of the Old Testament church, I really think this is the case, that it's a better translation to make it test. No test has overtaken you, such as is common to man, but such as is common to man. In other words, no test, God doesn't give you a test that's unique, that he hasn't given to someone else. We usually take this posture. Oh, but you don't know what I went through. As though my situation is absolutely unique. No one else in the universe could have possibly experienced the things that I have experienced. Not so. Just look around a little bit. No test is unique. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful and will not allow you to be tested beyond what you are able. God will not give you a test you cannot sustain as a Christian man or woman. Do you hear that? No test will come upon you by the hand of God, and God is in absolute control of all things. God will not give you a test you cannot sustain. Thus says the Lord. God is faithful. You will not and will not allow you to be tested beyond what you are able, but with the test will provide, and the English version says, a way of escape. And another way to translate this word is outcome. He will provide the outcome. God knows the end from the beginning. And when he puts you through a test, he knows what the outcome is. And he's already assured you, people of God, that you are able to sustain the test. Praise God that this is the case. But with the test, we'll provide the outcome also so that you will be able to endure it. You will persevere. This is the perseverance of the saints. You will endure. If you are a saved child of God, if you are justified by grace through faith, and you are on the road of sanctification, God will complete the good work that he began in you. Amen? He will. You will be able to endure it. You will be able to persevere. You are, friends, the recipients of a new age in which Jesus Christ has already come and the glory of the new age is upon you. And no test will come upon you that you are not able to sustain. God is faithful and will cause you to endure it. And part of the dynamic is this, that you are to look back at the example of the Old Testament church. Because God's testing. And as God tests, you are to persevere in your testing. See, that's the message. Looking back at the Old Testament church and the people, how they faltered and how they failed, you can learn from them. And then you can persevere in your testing. See, I go back to this economic crisis again. And it is an economic crisis. Jobs are on the line. This is the real world. Savings accounts, retirement funds, 401ks have been devastated. And maybe you're in that situation. God is testing. He's testing the content of your heart and my heart. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Jesus Christ quoted those very words from Deuteronomy chapter 8 when he was in the wilderness, put under a time of testing, and the devil came to him. Jesus Christ quoted those same words from Deuteronomy, from the Old Testament. Jesus Christ knew the stories of the people in the wilderness and the people in the Old Testament. And He taught about them. And as we've seen in the Apostle Paul, they were given to us as examples. When you look at your Bible, do you realize that over three quarters of your Bible consists of the Old Testament? Do you realize that? And less than one quarter of your Bible consists of the New Testament. There's a message there. You need to learn from the church in the Old Testament and persevere in your testing. There is a connection between the Old Testament church and the New Testament church. God tested that Old Testament church. And He's testing you and me. Your heart and my heart. What will the outcome of the test be? If you think you stand, take heed, lest you fall. Learn from the Old Testament church and persevere in your testing. Let's pray. Father, we don't always connect the dots. We don't always think about the Old Testament church in the terms that Paul thinks about that Old Testament church. Forgive us. And as we ply the pages of your word, may we see how through the ages you have been pleased to deal with your people. May we learn from that as we observe how you tested your people to reveal the content of their hearts and realize that you're going to do the same thing with us. Thank you for the lesson from Paul that you're not going to test us beyond our ability as Christians. You already have the outcome in mind. And you're going to cause us to persevere. So may we, as your people here today, O Lord, learn from the Old Testament church. And may we persevere, each one of us, persevere in the testing that comes our way. Hear us, we ask, in the name of Jesus Christ, who is the only Lord and King, whom we gladly serve. Amen.